You notice the bulletin, the title of my sermon this morning is Creature, Child, or Friend. Creature, Child, or Friend. I am called by many names. I used to have two people in my life, only two, that called me son. They're both in heaven this morning, and so I have nobody left on earth to call me son. I have two people that call me dad, just two. I have almost three that call me pa. Two that do and one that tries every now and then but hasn't quite got the hang of it yet. Some people here call me Daryl. Usually those are the ones that have been around for a long, long time. Others call me Brother Daryl. Others call me Pastor. If you're going to call me, just call me on time when it's time to eat. I don't care what you call me. Just call me on time. I have one person that calls me honey, sweetheart, darling, and we've only been married for 12 weeks. Sometimes she calls me other things that I won't tell you this morning, but I like it. And anyhow, see, she's turning all red back there now. Now, what's true of me is also true of you. You are called by different names, and what you are called depends on the relationship that you have with that person, the degree of intimacy you have with that person. And so different people call you different names. The same thing is true in our relationship with God. And so again, this morning, I'm going to mention three things that one of these things we all are, two of these things most of us are, and the third thing is where I want us all to strive to be, creature, child, or friend. And I want you to ask yourself this question as we go through these three names for mankind, which one of these are you? And again, I encourage you to move from being a creature to being a child to being a friend. So here we go. Number one, all of us are creatures by birth. It says in the book of Genesis, and the Lord God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Every single person is made by God. We were not manufactured. We were not transplanted. We were not hatched. We did not evolve. Now, let me just stop there for a minute. I believe in backwards evolution. Okay? I believe that a man can evolve into a monkey. I've met some of them. I believe a man can evolve into a donkey. I've met some of them. I believe a man can evolve into a dog. I've met some of them. But I do not believe in forward evolution. I do not believe we all started out as tadpoles, which turned into monkeys, which turned into men. I do not believe that. It is not science. Even the founder of evolution, Charles Darwin, said there was a lot of problems with it before he died. I believe that every single person was made by God, and you are here this morning as a person, as much a direct creation of God as Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. I know he didn't make us out of dust that we were born, but none of us would be here unless God wanted us here. Every single one of us is just as much a miracle as Adam and Eve were when they were created in the Garden of Eden. And again, that's why, and again, I'm not going to chase rabbits this morning, but it just gives me the opportunity to say, I believe abortion is a sin. I believe abortion is an abomination to God. Abortion is taking something that God made and saying, God made a mistake, and so I'm going to fix it. That kind of thought process leads to every abortion. We think we know better than God who should have life and who shouldn't. And so we end that life while it's in the womb. Look, that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. When he became God and started making decisions that only God can make. And I know the world calls it today, they call it a mother's choice. They call it a woman's right. We just need to call it what God calls it. It is an abomination. It is murder. And those that commit abortion, those that do abortion, one day are going to stand before God and pay the price for what they've committed. All made by God. And think about this. God made you the way that you are. God made me the way that I am. Now, I know that we can change the way that God made us. I know that we can eat too much and be a little bit bigger than God wants us to be. I've experienced that since I've been recently married. I've ate too much. I've gained weight. I know you have all been kind and haven't pointed it out to me, except for one person who will remain nameless. But I know that. I know that we can do other things that affect our bodies, that kill certain parts of our bodies. But God made us the way that He wants us to be. I look at some people and I say, why did God make that person that way? And I study it. I think about it. And then I just come to the conclusion, God must have had a sense of humor when He made that person the way that He did. And I'm glad He did. I'm glad God didn't make more than one of each of us. I'm glad I'm not looking out and seeing some of me sitting out there. That would be a bad, well, never mind. And I'm glad there's not more than one of you. I'm glad there's only one of each one of us, because we were made by God. We were made special by God. And every single one of us are a creation of God. So by birth, every single one of us are a creature. He made us. He created us. And so by birth, when you were born a human being, you became a creature. You are a creation of God. And that statement is true of every single person in this room this morning. Again, you did not evolve. You did not hatch. You were made by God, makes you a creation. But there's something better than that. Don't just stop at being a creation. I mean, thank God that He made you. Thank God He made you the way that He did. You say, I wish you would have made me different. No, you don't. You're not wiser than God. He made you just the way that He wanted you to be. Thank Him for that. But don't just stop at being a creation. Move to the next relationship with God. Move from being a creature to a child. We became a creature when we were born. We become a child of God by the second birth. God told Nicodemus, that Jewish ruler that came to Him by night. He came to Him by night because He didn't want the other Jewish rulers to know that He was visiting this one that they were against, that this one they were trying to tear down. And Nicodemus talked to Jesus about the second birth. Or better said, Jesus talked to Nicodemus about the second birth. Nicodemus asked how he could have a relationship with God, how he could have his sins forgiven. And Jesus told this Jewish scholar, well, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus said, hey, how can I be born again? I can't enter a second time into my mother's womb. And Jesus talked to him about the second birth. Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus that every single creature is a sinner. Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, some of you I know real well. I know you're sinners. Some of you I don't know very well. But I would say to every person here, we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. We've all come short of His glory. The glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I've often said, we can always find somebody a worse sinner than we are. We can all do like the Pharisee that Jesus talked about that came into the temple and patted himself on the back and said, I'm glad I'm not like that publican. I'm glad I pray and I'm glad I give and I'm glad that I am the way I am. I'm glad I'm not like that sinner. Well, we can always find somebody worse than we are, but when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God, every single one of us realize that we come up short. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Jesus told Nicodemus that. He said, hey, there's a penalty for that sin. Nicodemus was experiencing that penalty. He was a Jew. He was a religious leader. And yet he was separated from God. He didn't have a relationship with God. That sin kept him from God. And Jesus said, look, you can't keep the law and overcome that gap that exists between you and God because of your sin. You can't do it. The law, keeping the law, won't do it. You can't be good enough to do it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, you have to be born again. Born again. And he explained it. He said, that which is born of water is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is of God. How do we get born again? Well, the Bible tells us. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I understand there's a penalty for that sin. I understand that Jesus paid the penalty that I owe. He paid the price of not his sin. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He paid the price for my sin. He paid the price for your sin. When Jesus died on Calvary, he paid the price of every sin that was ever or will ever be committed in the world. Every sin was laid by God on his son. And when he died on Calvary, he paid the total price of every person's sin. I need to realize that. That's how I get born again. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize there's a penalty for that sin. I realize that Jesus paid the penalty. And then in simple, childlike faith, I come to Christ. And I say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from God. But I believe that when you died on Calvary, you died for my sin. And I'm asking you now to save me and be my Savior. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what God's desire is for every single person. God didn't create some people to go to heaven and other people to go to hell. He created everybody to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every single person to be saved, and there is room at the cross for every person to come. There is sufficient blood at the cross to cover the sins of every single person. There is sufficient room in the love of God and in the mercy of God and in the grace of God to cover every sinner. All God is waiting for is for us to come. That's how we get the second birth. That's how we're born again. That's how we're born into God's family. We simply come as a sinner in need of a Savior and trust Jesus, and God does the rest. He does the rest. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Becoming a child of God is something that God did for us. It's not something that we do for him. Now, let me tell you, the benefits of being a child are greater than the benefits of being a creature. As a creature, we get to live in this world that God made. But as a child, we're part of God's family. As part of God's family, God, as our Father, has the responsibility to take care of us. Brother Clyde prayed a moment ago, thank you for taking care of us, and he does. Jesus told the crowd that was gathered around him one day, he said, hey, you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't need to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't need to worry about where you're going to live. The Father knows that you have need of all those things. He'll meet those needs. Amen. Bible says, but my God shall supply my every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's not a need that we have in our life as a child of God that God won't meet. He doesn't give us everything we want. You know, some of the things we want are not good for us. And so he just gives us the things that we need. And he'll meet our every need. That's a benefit of being a child of God. God the Father is responsible for taking care of us. As a child, we talked about it in Sunday school. As a child, we have access to God all the time. There is no time in our life as a child of God that we are in any way separated from him. Now, yeah, I know sometimes we sin and sometimes we backslide and some things we as Christians do that draw us away from God, but God never turns his back on one of his children. The only time he did that when his only begotten son hung on a cross and bore the sin of all mankind. That's the only time, and it will be the only time forever, that God turns his back on one of his children. I mean, we may do things to displease him. We may do things to dishonor his name. But once we become a child of God, God will never turn his back on us. We may turn our back on him, but he will never turn away from us. I've told you the story before about the man and woman in the front seat driving. A man over here behind the steering wheel, woman over here by the passenger door. And the lady looks over at the man and said, "Honey, do you remember when we first got married, how close we used to sit together in the front seat?" And he looked back at her and said, "I haven't moved." And that's what God says. I haven't moved. He's a God that never changes. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. "I am the Lord, I change not," the book of Malachi says. He will never turn his back on one of his children. We're a child of God. We have that kind of father. And look, being a child, it's available to everybody. You don't have to meet a certain set of qualifications to become a child of God. You just have to be a sinner. We're all sinners. You just have to know that there's a penalty for sin. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. And then you just come and trust Christ. It's available to every single person. You know what? I don't understand why people reject it. I don't understand why people don't receive it. I mean, if you had taken some poison, and I had the antidote to that poison, and I said, "Brother John, you've taken this poison. This will fix you." You wouldn't reject it. You'd say, "Let me have it." You'd drink it down. I mean, Josh, if you had a sickness and I came to you and you were going to die, and I said, "Josh, hey, I know an operation that will save your life." You wouldn't reject it. You'd say, "Bring it on. I want to live." I mean, if Brother Gerald was driving down the road and I was out in the middle of the road waving my hand, "Stop, stop, stop." Hopefully he'd stop. I'm out there, "Stop, stop, stop. The bridge is out ahead." He would stop. He'd find a different way to go. This morning, you've been poisoned by sin. You have a sickness that's going to kill you. That sickness is called sin. You're about to plunge into the bottomless pit. And I want to stand this morning and wave my hands and say, "Look, I know something that'll save you. I've got the antidote to this poison that you've taken. And the antidote and the cure is the Lord Jesus Christ. Take him. Take him. Why would you reject him and die and spend eternity apart from God when you have the answer right in front of you? Your sins have been paid for. He's got his arms wide open, says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why don't you just come? Just come. Move from being a creature to being a child. But then don't stop there. There's something better than being a child, and that's being a friend. We become a creature by birth. We become a child by the second birth. We become a friend by obedience. Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." We become a friend by choice. I will. I will. I decide to obey the commands of God. I decide that when he says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," that I'm going to study this book. When he says, "Pray without ceasing," I'm going to be obedient to the commands of my God and pray. When he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," I'm going to be obedient and be a witness for Christ. And again, when the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as ye see the day approaching," I'm going to be in church. I could go on and on. This book is full of things that God wants us to do. And God says, "Look, you want to be, you're my child. You're my child because you got saved. You want to be my friend? Then obey the commandments that I've given you." Every child of God has the opportunity to be a friend of God. It's a matter of our will to decide that we're going to be obedient to the commands of God. Now, let me tell you this. The benefits of being a friend are a little bit greater than being a child. It says though there in that verses that we read, Jesus said to his friends, I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. A friend of God gets a special revelation. He gets to hear things that maybe a child doesn't get to hear. Jesus said, I'll tell you all things. You be obedient to my commandments. I'll tell you everything that I've heard from the Father. Something else. Now, I know God answers prayer for children, but Jesus said to his friends, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see, as a friend of God, we get a blank check. We get a blank check. So whatsoever you ask, I'll have the Father give it to you. And again, it's a matter of choice. Every child of God can decide they want to be a friend of God. You become a friend of God by obeying the commandments of God. And so, as I close this morning, let me ask you, which one are you? There may be a few here this morning that are creatures. You were made by God. You were created by God. You get to live in this world that he's created. You're a part of that creation. Every single person is a creature, but don't stop there. Be a son. Be born again. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Become part of God's family. But then don't stop there. Don't stop at just being a child. Become a friend of God. Amen. Become obedient to the commandments of God. Which one are you? Which one are you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to be your friend. I pray that's what we'd all desire to be, a friend of God. Only a few people in the Bible you called your friends. Help us to be in that number. I pray today for those that are still creatures. They've never received the gospel. They've never come to Jesus Christ. Help them this morning, Father, see their sin, the penalty for that sin, the price that Jesus paid for it on Calvary. Help them this morning in simple, childlike faith to trust Christ. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be, Jesus said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Help us to become the friends of our Savior. Just bless this invitation. Help those that need to come, come. If they need to be saved, help them to come. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If they need to use the altar, Father, help them to come. Do what you need to do in this invitation. Help us to be obedient. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.